Yeah. Making her way to the mic. They start dimming the lights. You start feeling alright. From Birmingham, home of the Teddy Longs and the room and stutters. More once you discover. For all of the lovers, Whitney Houston and Roman Reigns. For all of the lovers, and Mickey James and Marvin Gaye. For all of the lovers, and Sasha Banks, Janelle Monae, Silk, Sonic, and Paige. Allow me to say. Look, I just found a place, sweet escape. For every one of us, I was kinda late, cause I just made it off the struggle bus. Walking by the fate, cause I know it's right in front of us. Yo, I ain't with the hate, gotta focus on what's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Hardy is on the air. Had to drop a couple bars just to make you all aware. So, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. You know, I go by Joe or the Resto.
Welcome to a new episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl Stephanie Hardy. If this is your first time listening or first time watching, welcome and happy Cinco de Mayo. And I'm so happy that you have found this chill, positive, and passionate space to listen to what you love about professional wrestling. And if this isn't your first time listening, welcome back to the ride and thank you so much for your support. It is a beautiful Sunday. Of course, I had to move my show around due to a whole lot of different time things, but we are here and we are here to talk about all the ins and outs of professional wrestling. We have had an amazing weekend with Backlash happening in France and so many other things taking place too. But of course, you know, I'm here to guide you through it. And of course, if you want to continue to support and follow the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, know that you can follow it on Instagram at the bottom of the screen at Hardy Wrestling Podcast and on X / Twitter at Hardy Wrestle Pod. That's HardyWrestlePod. And also, of course, follow me on my handles as well, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, of course, I hope you guys have had a fantastic weekend and a productive week as we move into the month of May. Like, it's really May. And oh my God, like, I just can't even begin to explain how fast this year is going because it felt like it just started, but now here we are. It's May and we are getting into the groove of things. And of course, this show has to start with news and gossip-ish. And the biggest piece of news and gossip that has been made public on yesterday as of yesterday afternoon after Backlash and during the Kentucky Derby is that WrestleMania will be taking place. Sorry, technical difficulties. WrestleMania next year will be taking place in Las Vegas at the Allegiant Stadium on April the 19th and the 20th of 2025. Now, of course, we're used, us as wrestling fans are used to WWE making the announcement of where WrestleMania is going to be during the current year's event. So WrestleMania XL Extra Large happened in Philadelphia and they had that entire spectacle and did not tell us where WrestleMania was going to be. But over the past couple of months, everybody and their mama was saying, oh, it's going to be Las Vegas. Oh, it's going to be Las Vegas. And then other people were saying, oh, it could be Minneapolis. But as it turns out, it's Las Vegas. And I think a part of me felt like it was going to be in Las Vegas because number one, they had their WrestleMania press conference there. Not really a press conference, but kind of like their WrestleMania like hype party there. Number one, where The Rock slapped Cody Rhodes in front of his family tree. And then number two, they're having Battleground in Las Vegas as well inside of that UFC arena. So to me, that kind of gave off the impression, you know what? It seems like they're leaning really heavy on the Las Vegas stuff. So yeah, this is where we're at. It's going to be in Las Vegas, and I'm really excited about it because, you know, if your girl does happen to go, I am excited because I've never been to Las Vegas. Like, there's only been so few times that I've gone out west, and that's only been to California. So to be able to go to Nevada for the first time will just be a huge experience. And then, of course, we have the Strip and everything that that Las Vegas is definitely famous for. Lots of entertainment, lots of lights, lots of wedding chapels, and so many other different things. Like, we might see the largest group of wrestling fans get married in Las Vegas. And of course, there's always the turn up with all the clubs and everything else like that. And of course, you got the casinos, where people might, you know, try their luck at things. But yeah, WrestleMania is going to be in Las Vegas, and it's just really magical to think about, you know, how big WrestleMania has gotten over the years, and just the idea that, you know, it's going to be even bigger at the Allegiant Stadium, which is where the Las Vegas Raiders play. And that is my new favorite football team because shout out to my boyfriend. He is a big Las Vegas Raiders fan. So, you know, we watch a lot of what they do anyway. So the fact that it's going to happen there is going to be really amazing. So get ready because. It's Vegas, baby. It's Vegas. So I'm just really excited that this is what's going on. And I hopefully will be able to go. But, you know, there are lots of people booking their hotels now. So I will suggest that if you are preparing to go to WrestleMania, please start preparing right now. So it's going to be great. I'm excited about it. Moving on to more news, as you can see the fabulous Las Vegas sign right there. Triple H kind of ruffled some feathers a little bit yesterday during the press conference for Backlash. Now, of course, Backlash happened in Voulez-vous Francais, in Lyon, France, and it was such an amazing show. Not only because of the matches that they had, but also because of the fans there. They were definitely excited throughout the entire show with all kinds of amazing chants, songs, and all of the above. Like, everybody in France was crunking. Shout out to them because they are the most exciting. They were probably one of the most exciting crowds that I've ever seen. It also reminds me of how in Puerto Rico last year, they were lit for Backlash there too. So it's just like really funny how the international crowds are just definitely like into everything and just hype, and they add their own culture to the things that they chant a lot of the time. So that was really cool. But getting back to the subject at hand, Triple H, of course, ended the press conference. And of course, you can ask questions and all of the above with that being said. And so one of the interviewers asked him a question about Drew Gulak's status in the company because it's been publicized over the past week that he was one of the people who got released from his WWE contract. And Triple H sort of had a smarmy way of responding to him, to the person who asked that question, and said that he needs to get his facts right, and not believe, you know, all of the dirt sheets that you see all the time, alluding to the fact that, and when the interviewer answered and said that it was Fightful and another website that told that basically expressed what was going on with that situation, he sort of bit like got sassy with him and said, like, you need to, you know, just have better news sources. And what's so sad is that a lot of the people who worked for Fightful did not take that too kindly at all. And they felt like, well, he was throwing shade at them, as if a lot of the stuff that they don't get or they report is just wrong all the time. And that's definitely not the case, because there have been times where Fightful and the other site that was mentioned, they have been correct. So it's not like, or maybe he was just saying that to try to protect the business or whatever. But at the same time, you know, it's just really weird how people just sort of try to like low key like discredit some news sources when it comes to wrestling. But I just feel like maybe he was just trying to be protective over what was going on in the situation, but at the same time, don't discredit the people who report what's going on with you whenever there's something happening, because they're the one who gets the information out there, you know, whether you necessarily want it to or not. So it was just a really awkward situation, and I hope that all the people who work for wrestling media, including myself, just know that the work that we do, as long as it's, you know, credible and as long as it's above board, that the work that we do is valid. And I hope that, you know, you just, no one in wrestling media feels that they're just, you know, doing stuff for the sake of doing stuff, or they're just getting railroaded. You know, we deserve to be respected. And that's really all I have to say about that. Joem8 from YouTube is saying hi. And well, he's saying bonjour. And bonjour to everyone. So that's really it for that story. And of course, Drew Gulak, if you may or may not know, he was a wrestler primarily at this time in NXT as part of the No Quarter Catch crew with Charlie Dempsey, Damon Kemp, and Miles Bourne. And they currently hold the Heritage Cup Championship down in NXT. But of course, they're now going with this storyline where the D'Angelo family might have carried out a hit on behalf of the No Quarter Catch crew after all of the mess came out about him and Ronda Rousey. And since Ronda Rousey, you know, used to work for them, was a champion for WWE and everything, and she's been going on her book tour, she's been talking about various experiences that she had in WWE. One of them being that Drew Gulak tried to either shake her hand or move her somewhere and grab her by her drawstring on her sweatpants. And a lot of people didn't take really kindly to that. They felt like that was a form of sexual assault. Forgive me for speaking that or for triggering anybody, but that's really what it was giving. And that just did not play well into things. And then Drew Gulak's response didn't necessarily play that well into it either. So essentially, Triple H said that his contract just wasn't renewed, which ultimately gives the impression that he was released. So yeah, it's really scary stuff. But, you know, everyone deserves to be respected, and nobody deserves to be treated any kind of way or touched in any kind of way that makes them uncomfortable. But it's just a really weird and strange situation, especially if you're on the outside looking in, talking about it. But either way, I just hope Ronda has peace in the situation, and I hope that all of the wrestlers who have been released find some level of work where they can continue to thrive in different ways. So yeah. And speaking of other wrestlers that have been released, Gable Steveson, the Olympic athlete, is actually one of those people who got released as well this week. And it was just really surprising considering they seem to be going all in on him. What after he had won the Olympics and everything, and he seemed really excited about getting started as a wrestler, but somehow or another, it was just always sort of like a stop-start situation, and it never truly came to fruition. So it was reported this past Friday that he was among a group of NXT wrestlers that did get released, and they talked about how high profile of a signing he was in September of 2021, which is a month after his victory at the Tokyo Olympics. And he was the first person signed with the company as part of the NIL program. And the deal also allowed for him to complete his college wrestling career at the University of Minnesota, where people like, I believe, Shelton Benjamin and Brock Lesnar graduated from with their wrestling careers as well. He also won his third straight Big Ten title and second straight national title in the heavyweight division in 2022. And then surprisingly, he was also signed along with another girl, another Black woman who had won the Olympics as well. I believe her name is Tamira Stock. She won a gold medal in wrestling for the United States as well. And she is, as far as I know, is still with NXT, but she has yet to make her debut. But she does post pictures every now and again backstage at the NXT Performance Center. So she's still there, but he is not. And what's so crazy is that he made his appearance at WrestleMania 38, hitting Chad Gable with a suplex, and then he had his first official match against Baron Corbin at Great American Bash in July of next year, which ended of last year, which ended in a double countout. So he was just kind of off and on a bit, but now he's not there anymore, and you kind of hate to see stuff like this. But then there was also another weird type of allegations against him involving a woman as well. So I don't know what that. I don't know any more about that situation, but he's no longer with the WWE, so I just hope that he continues to find purpose elsewhere after that. So Malcolm in the comments saying Hardy, HWP, Kane, and Kurt Angle are going to be at the Iron City Comic Con next month. See, I knew about Kane, but I didn't know about Kurt Angle, but I didn't plan on meeting Kane there. Because I just have my personal reasons behind that, but it's cool that Kurt Angle's going to be there. So that's fine. So moving on with more news and gossipish, we have Patrick Mahomes, the Super Bowl champion, showing up on Monday Night Raw, to aid the US champion Logan Paul in his attack on, different people in the ring on Monday. So he played a heel character, basically helping Logan Paul as he proceeded to try to beat up on Jey Uso and Damian Priest and everything else like that. And it was really funny because this was in Kansas City and people were cheering him because, of course, he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. But he definitely just had heel vibes the entire time he was there. And even Braun Strowman made his grand return to WWE and ran in and had a stare down with him. But then his two football friends stood up and tried to protect him as if they were bodyguards. So that definitely gave me heel vibes. So I don't know if he's ever going to come back, but if he does, that would be pretty amazing. And if he does play a heel, he would make a great heel. So Patrick Mahomes, if you do ever decide to come back to WWE and have like maybe a tag match with Logan Paul or something, hey, you can do it because you have the vibe to be an actual top heel, a top celebrity heel at that. And the fact that he gave Logan Paul his rings and Logan actually punched JD McDonagh in the head and left like the biggest bruise I've ever seen on a man was just really crazy. So hey, Patrick Mahomes, you might have a future in wrestling. You just never know. So another thing in news and gossipish that has been grabbing my attention for the past couple of weeks are people's sort of complaints about Def Rebels theme songs for the WWE superstars. Now, at one point, they were working with CFOs or CFO dollar sign, and they made some really great theme music. But then, of course, that fell through. And then they started working with Def Rebel. And over the past few months, since the Royal Rumble, actually, people have been complaining a whole lot about the theme songs and talked about how generic they are and how sometimes they can't tell which person is which and just complaining about them in general. And even there are some wrestling fans who are pushing it so far to the point to where they want Def Rebel just completely fired and annihilated. And let me just say, it's not cool to wish for a person to lose their job. Let's start there. Let's not wish for people to lose their jobs. Even though you might feel like they're not doing a good job enough for you, let's not root for people to lose their jobs. I feel like that's a very toxic part of the wrestling community that just needs to chill. We need to stop that. And secondly, there are so few theme songs that Def Rebel has produced that I don't like, but there are a lot that I do like this one, like with Charlotte. When she made her return and beat Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown Women's title at that point last year, and she had a new theme song that had the older elements of her song with sort of like a bigger beat behind it. I actually liked it because it made her seem like more of a superhero and it just fit her aura. So I actually liked that theme song. I definitely like the one that Def Rebel produced with Solo Sikoa because that song is pretty cool. It sounds like a shark is coming and that's definitely the vibes that Solo Sikoa gives. Then on top of that, Def Rebel even made Trick Williams's theme song. Now, mind you, his theme song sounds like, you know, there's horns there and then there's a strong backbeat to it with a bass in it. But of course, that is more of an experience when you have the fans chanting whoop that trick. But you don't have the beat or the rhythm of fans chanting whoop that trick if you don't have the music that's produced behind it. So I just feel like maybe we might be coming down on them a little bit too hard, because there are a lot of them that are cool, but then there are others that aren't as cool, like DIY's theme song. I do not like that one because it starts with we are DIY, and it just sounds really I don't know, it just sounds really kiddie, and I don't necessarily like that one. But yeah, I just don't. There are a few that I know I don't like. Like, I know I don't like Andrade's theme song right now either, because I miss his older one. But yeah, it's just really strange. They're just in a really weird place. But it's been reported by Fightful Sean Ross Sapp, sending strength and love to him, that WWE is very aware of the complaints about their theme songs. So yeah, they know what's going on and they hear what we're saying. But yeah, it's just really strange. It's just really strange how people are just wanting them to lose their jobs because of it. Like, that's a little bit too much. But here we are in the today of things and people don't like it. So yeah, but I still love Trick Williams' theme song. That's never going to change. It goes hard. So yeah. And moving into more news and gossipish, Seth Rollins has reportedly signed a new contract with WWE. And according to Fightful Select, that his new contract is several years in length and includes a significant financial package. And back in December, Sean Ross Sapp reported that Rollins' deal was slated to expire in June, as well as Becky Lynch, as you can see the women's world champion there in that picture, because yesterday they were at the Kentucky Derby. And because they were highlighted with their outfit, they sort of used them as a segue to talk about the WrestleMania announcement of it being in Las Vegas. And of course, Seth Rollins has been with the company since 2012. And of course, he's accomplished a whole lot. And he was definitely the MVP of WrestleMania this year. So I don't necessarily see him fully leaving at all. And I don't necessarily see Becky leaving either. So, you know, we just have to wait and see, because of course it is their decision. It's up to them. But right now it's being reported that Seth is re-signed with them. So big ups to Seth for doing big things and being iconic, like he always is. And I hope that we can continue to see all of his fabulous fashions until he decides to let it go. So yeah. And we also wish him good luck on the healing of his knee, because he did have surgery. So that's cool. We hope he's doing okay. And lastly, in news and gossipish, kind of going out on a sad note, AEW superstar Powerhouse Hobbs suffered a significant injury during his IWGP title match with Jon Moxley, and he will be sidelined. And it's really sad because he's a guy who I always felt like could have been on, who was on my short list to be the first Black AEW heavyweight champion. But of course, that went to Swerve Strickland. But I always thought that maybe it could be him, because he just has so much attitude and aggression in the ring that I just felt like he just has the ooze to do it. But of course, you know, in him having that opportunity against Jon Moxley, that was huge. But now he's injured and he's going to be out for a minute. So those are the things that you hate to hear about. But of course, I hope that he gets better and heals up as best as he can, so that he can come back and continue to run roughshod over AEW and possibly work himself up for world heavyweight title contention, if not TNT title contention. But you know, either way, we hope he gets well. So that's all for news. And well, actually, there's one more thing I forgot to talk about for news and gossipish. And it's the fact that CM Punk got locked in WWE headquarters. He got locked at WWE headquarters after the pre-show for Backlash, which he hosted with Big E and Jackie Redmond. And he basically charted the entire experience on video. So let's listen into some of it.
What's happening? I got done doing the pre-show and I got locked inside a bathroom while I was changing out of my suit. Nice suit, by the way, DanielGeorge.com. He's in Chicago. And by the time I got out of the bathroom, everybody's gone. So I'm literally in God, I don't know what you call this anymore. Titan Towers 2, headquarters. But I'm here, and I figured, since I was here, I might try to pull some Phantom of the Opera shit and see how long it takes somebody to notice that I am, in fact, here. I don't know what the employee work schedule is. I don't know who works at what time. And there are a lot of doors you need a key card for, and I don't have a key card.
So, yeah, like, he was locked in WWE headquarters in Stamford after the show. His stuff was still in the office and everything, but he really just did not know how to get out. And he will go on to take different pictures of different superstars and stuff, especially the ones in NXT, like Roxanne Perez, the NXT Women's Champion, and Trick Williams, the NXT Champion. And he even took a video of him punching an Andre the Giant statue. So he was having all sorts of fun in the network. Well, not the network, but the in the headquarters. And when I tell you, it was so funny watching him yesterday talk about him being twisted up because Big E was naming off Tama Tonga's stuff that he did in New Japan Pro Wrestling, like his resume there. And he was just like, wait, can we talk about that now? Like, it was so funny because you can tell that there is still so much that he has to adjust to with the new regime in WWE. Because, of course, when he was there in WWE years ago, there really, you could get in trouble for mentioning New Japan or any other wrestling company in that way. Or they'll just allude to the fact that, you know, this person wrestled elsewhere. But now you can outright say, okay, this person was at New Japan, or this person was at Stardom, or this person was here. And there's no issues with it. And CM Punk was like, what? We can say that now? It's just really funny. And even in that video, he was like, what do you call this? Titan Towers, or like Titan Towers 2.0? Like, he really is in a time warp since he's been back in WWE. And I'll talk more about him later, but that was a really funny part of yesterday. So I just had to share that before I ended News and Gossipish for real, for real. So now we're going to move into what I liked in wrestling this week. Now, for those who may or may not listen, this is where I talk about all the things that I loved in professional wrestling this past week, because I try to focus on the positive things that are happening in wrestling and not so much of the negative, but still be truthful to the things that I don't necessarily like too. So, you know, we just got to be real about life. So this is where I talk about what I liked in wrestling this week. So on the somewhat recent episode of Wow Superheroes, Princess Ozzy and Crush, formerly known as Candy Crush, had to get into a match with each other because once upon a time they were best friends, but then they fell out, right? So they wrestled one of the most spiteful and technically sound matches that I have ever seen. And if you don't watch WoW Superheroes, I do recommend that you do, because of course, if you love women's wrestling, this is an amazing TV show that does air in syndication, but it's still really good. The women on here, it's a 1 hour all female wrestling show, and it's hosted by David McLean, and he also commentates with Nigel Zane, and it's just a really great show all around. The production value is amazing and the action is definitely on point. And you have women on here from different walks of life in wrestling, and you know, some even starting wrestling for the very first time here at WoW. And of course, I host a post show for it with Katrina from NCAT We Trust called Steph and Cat Talk WoW. So please check that out during next week. But either way, they had a very spiteful and very technically sound match against each other. And even though Crush cheated to win, I really love how hard hitting this match was. And I really need a rematch between these two women because they're just so good and they definitely deserve all the things for how amazing they performed. But I'll talk more about this match on the next episode of Steph and Cat Talk WoW. But either way, go watch this match. It was fantastic. It's available on YouTube. You can check it out there. Joy M in the comments saying, after traveling to All In, Backlash, CM Punk, us US unlucky. He must be pretty unlucky, like to get locked in a building and then having to go through all the other stuff he went through in AEW. It's really crazy. But yeah, please check out Princess Ozzy versus Crush when you get a chance. Also, let's move into what I liked on Monday Night Raw. This is something that I'm intrigued by, even though I feel like I'm sort of on the fence about it. It's like I feel like I'm more intrigued about it instead of really liking it. And this is the dynamic between Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio. Now, of course, Liv has been on her revenge tour, and she's been trying to come after everything that Rhea Ripley has ever owned or held on to. And she's a part of the reason why Rhea Ripley is injured and had to give up the Women's World Championship. So Liv thought, you know, she would have more of an opportunity to win the title in that battle royal that they did have on Raw 2 weeks ago, which she wound up losing to Becky Lynch. But along with her trying to get her revenge, she might be coming after Dominic Mysterio. And even on this past episode of Raw, when Jey Uso was being interviewed by Kathy Kelly, someone peeped Liv Morgan leaving a back room. And then a few minutes later, Dominic Mysterio was leaving that room too. The plot thickens. A lot of people really think that Liv might be trying to seduce Dominic away from Rhea, as Rhea is not there and she won't be mommy for him at this point. And then he's injured, so he's just kind of talking trash at this point. He's not really too useful now. So a lot of people really think that Liv really might be trying to pull Dominic away from Rhea, and it's just really interesting to see that play out. I don't know how that's gonna work, but a part of me low-key feels like I want Rhea to like scope it out first and then just use it as a means of getting back at Liv just to mess with her even more. But who even knows? But then there's another part of me that wants to feed into my theory of what could happen and have Rhea Ripley dump Dominic for Jey Uso on screen. But y'all know that if y'all saw my last episode, I went deep into detail about my theory as to why Rhea and Jey Uso would be a cute on-screen couple. But hey, we just gotta wait and see for that. But that's just really intriguing to me. Also, another thing I liked about Monday Night Raw this week was, of course, this was night two of the WWE draft. And Stephanie McMahon came back on screen after we saw her at WrestleMania night two and made the announcements for round one. And it's just always really cool to see her. I'm really glad that she's getting back into the swing of things, because her presence as a WWE icon, former general manager, authority figure, and all the above cannot be overstated or cannot be underrated at all. Like, she really was an icon out here, doing all kinds of crazy things with Triple H, of course, which led to them really getting married in real life. And the idea that, you know, we've been missing her for a few years was just kind of like, dang, like, I miss Stephanie so much. And now she's back, and I'm glad that she is. So yeah, I really missed her, and it was just really good to see her make these draft announcements for the very first round. We just love to see it. She had on SmackDown Blue, and she just looked great, because she just looks great no matter what. So big ups to Stephanie McMahon, and I hope we get to see her more and more. Also, LWO got drafted to Monday Night Raw after being on SmackDown for such a long period of time. But considering this is the area where I put the women first, I just want to center in on Zelina Vega. Of course, she is still a part of the LWO with Rey Mysterio, Cruz Del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, and Dragon Lee, and Carlito's not in it anymore. But I just really want for Zelina to actually find more of her voice, because I find that the spokesperson for LWO is always Rey Mysterio, which is, you know, understandable because he is the leader and he was able to carry on the LWO name and stuff like that. But at the same time, I want Zelina to find more of her voice and start speaking out a little bit more, if not standing on her own while also still being an LWO girl. I don't know how that would look, but I do still want to see her do more stuff on her own, like in terms of solo work and in terms of in-ring work as well. They did announce yesterday that she will be in the first round tournament for Queen of the Ring, which she has previously won. She's the first ever official Queen of the Ring. So that's going to be really cool to see if she wins that match. But I'm just pushing for her to win Money in the Bank, because I really feel she deserves it out of all the other Raw superstars, because over the past couple of years, they've had a SmackDown superstar win Money in the Bank, and she would be the best choice in terms of a Raw star to win it, in my mind. So Zelina, my girl, my love, my queen from Queens, it's your time. It's really your time to step out here and do the daggum thing. Uncensored DeAndre and Wrestling, what's up? Thank you for watching on YouTube. Thank you so much. So yeah, LWO is on Raw now, so that's going to be cool. Another thing about women on Raw that I really loved was the drafting of Lyra Valkyria, the former NXT Women's Champion that I had the pleasure of meeting in Philadelphia. She got drafted to Raw, and then Blair Davenport got drafted to SmackDown. And as you can see from both pictures, both of these women were shocked and very emotional about it. They were crying and were hugging their friends and hugging Shawn Michaels. And it was just a beautiful sight to see. You love to see people's hard work come to fruition and have their dreams come true. That's a part of the reason why I like to watch the NFL draft or the WNBA draft when it happens, because you can actively see people's dreams coming true, and you can see them, you know, get openly emotional about it in the happiest moment of their lives. And, you know, and if you're like me, if you're an empath, you cry when they cry. So watching Lyra and Blair have their dreams come true was just so amazing. And I'm so excited to see what they bring to their respective brands alongside Carmelo Hayes and Kiana James as well. So it's just really great. Big ups to the NXT call-ups. Y'all definitely deserve it. I'm just really happy. And a lot of people did complain about the draft and felt like it wasn't as big shock factory as it had been in previous years. And I find, for me, the reason why I actually like this draft this year is because it was very purposeful and it made sense, and it wasn't shocking for the sake of being shocking. And with it being purposeful, it just made sense to my brain, because Triple H even said during night one, a part of the draft is maintaining the talent that you already have on both brands while also simultaneously making room for the right fit for new people to come in. And that played throughout both nights, and it just made all the sense in the world to me, and I actually appreciated that. Now, others might not have, because they were just sort of like, well, it just wasn't that shocking, and it just wasn't this, and this was boring, and da-da-da-da, but I just didn't feel that way. I felt like it was very purposeful, and I felt like it was shocking for the people it was meant to be shocking for, and that was the newer people in NXT who were looking for that opportunity to get called up to the main roster. It was shocking for them because they probably weren't used, they didn't know they were going to get drafted. So it's cool. It was shocking for them, and it was great. And Dijak even got drafted to Monday Night Raw off screen. So that was really cool. So big ups to everybody that got drafted. Y'all are going to do big things, and it's going to be cool. So yeah. Another thing that I didn't like so much about Monday Night Raw moving into the men segment is Xavier Woods losing to Gunther. I feel like I've been watching The New Day feud against Imperium for the longest time. And then last week, the week before last, they actually wound up beating them in tag team action and finally putting them to rest, right? But that wasn't the case. And Xavier came out and challenged Gunther so he could have some momentum going towards King of the Ring, which he won a couple of years back. And in my mind, I'm just like, why make him lose the way that he did to Gunther when they just beat them? It just got on my nerves. Even though they didn't beat Gunther and Ludwig, they beat Ludwig and Giovanni Vinci. But it's just the principle. I just don't like the idea that Gunther and Imperium can keep beating up on them, and then New Day doesn't get their lick back until weeks after the fact, and then they still wind up fighting them again. It just doesn't make sense to me, and I feel like the New Day deserves better than that. I feel like Xavier deserves better than that, even though he got beat up and banged up, and he had to sort of, you know, and his knee was hurting and everything, and he tried not to give up, even though Kofi tried to throw in the towel for him. I just feel like Xavier deserves way better than that. I feel like it's past time for him to qualify to be a world heavyweight champion or any other singles champion, because he's so good and he's so underrated. But he just deserves to have that opportunity, and he doesn't deserve to look like a fool, considering they just beat Imperium the week before last. It's just aggravating. It's aggravating. But here's hoping for better things for the New Day going forward. Of course, Kofi Kingston is in one of the matches to move forward in the King of the Ring tournament. So maybe King Kofi can make it happen. But we just got to wait and see. So, yeah, we want better for the New Day. And finally, what I liked in Monday Night Raw was the hilarity that ensued when CM Punk was messing with Drew McIntyre. Now, Drew McIntyre is hurt. His shoulder got, I believe, dislocated in his brawl with CM Punk at WrestleMania. And so when he was messing with him, and of course, CM Punk tripped him up at WrestleMania and allowed him to lose to Damian Priest, who cashed in and stuff. So during the WWE draft, CM Punk got drafted in the second round, I believe, and Drew McIntyre got drafted in the third round. And of course, since Drew is petty Pablo these days, he was like, how could CM Punk, who hasn't done anything in months, get drafted before me? And I bet he's not even here, but I show up to work because I care about my job. CM Punk doesn't. And then CM Punk surprised him by playing his music and getting on the mic and saying, hey, I'm up here, you whiny bitch. And it was just so funny. I was like, yo, he really is there. And he was in the skybox amongst the people in Kansas City. And then when he waved at him, Drew McIntyre was so mad, he stormed out and went to look for him in said skybox. And CM Punk left an autographed picture for him and wound up downstairs, crisscross applesauce in the ring, and cut a scathing 2-minute promo on Drew McIntyre that was absolutely fantastic. But then it also made me kind of sad, because he mentioned that how Drew McIntyre said that he prayed for him to get injured and stuff like that. And he said, look, losers pray for things, winners make stuff happen. And it made me feel low-key as And I love CM Punk to death, but he made me feel some type of way when he said it, because I was like, but I pray and I'm not a loser. No shame. But I was like, yo, like, I pray, you know, I pray and I work. And hey, it works. But hey, I understand his point of view because he's an atheist. So I get it. But, you know, when he said it, I was like, oh, wait. It was funny to me. But either way, CM Punk went off. And I just appreciate it. And I love the fact that Drew and CM Punk are keeping this going, even though they can't fight each other physically. But when they do, it's going to be satisfying. And I just cannot wait. Also, CM Punk looked like a total zaddy in this tank top. I'm sorry. He just looked like a complete hottie. And respect to AJ Mendez. I know that's your husband, girl, but your husband is attractive. And I gotta chill. So that was all I liked from Monday Night Raw. And now we're moving into NXT Spring Break and Night 2. So in speaking about the things that I loved, I really loved Natalya versus Lola Vice in the first ever Women's Underground match. You could tell how serious it was when Lola came out there in her gear. And she had her hair braided backwards in such a cute design and everything. And she didn't come out there dancing to her theme song this time. Like, no, like, this was some real underground, gritty type stuff. And I just appreciated that. Like, I appreciated that attention to detail with that, because since she is or was an MMA fighter, you know, that's how locked in you have to be. And then I love how backstage they were getting us invested by watching them practice their punches and their kicks and everything. And Natty and Carmen, you know, Petrovic, they had their, you know, chemistry going. And when Shayna Baszler was telling Lola that she needed to work on her, or watch out for her submissions and stuff, she was like, I don't need that because I have the fastest hands in the ring. And Shayna was like, okay, girl. But in my head, I'm like, you can't underestimate Natalya Neidhart and her submissions. Because if it's anything that the Hart family knows how to do, they know how to tap you out. And the fact that she wanted to not focus on that really had me worried for a second. I was like, excuse me, that's going to be the main reason you lose. I was scared. I was like, bro, this is going to be the main reason you going to lose this match. It's because you underestimated the power of a submission. But she didn't give up. They got gritty and they got in that ring and they tore the house down. They even destroyed other people in the process. But it was still an amazing, amazing match. They did a fantastic job. I hated that Natalya got distracted by Shayna. Like, it was irritating me how much Shayna got involved in it. But of course, that was a part of the story of her protecting Carmen Petrovic. But at the same time, I was just like, God dang, Natty, get back in the ring. Get back in the ring. But that wasn't the case. And she wound up losing and Lola won. And Lola deserved that win. I'll definitely say that. And I was just really happy that she got that win over Natalya. Because I feel like if you are a women's wrestler that's pegged to be the next big thing, you cannot cross into bigger things until you cross over Natalya. That's just the point where she is now. Not only is she the best of all times, but she is the boat. I mean, not even the boat. She's the bar to women's wrestling. Like, do you know how legit you have to be for people of all promotions coming to train with you? That's a huge deal. So Natalya is out here and she's feeding into the future while also simultaneously showing that if she really wanted to go after a world title at this point, she really could. And I really appreciated that from her. I love her presence in wrestling. I appreciate it so much. And this match was great. So if you have not watched this Underground match, I do recommend that you do. It is fantastic. It is one of the reasons why I love women's wrestling so much. It was really great. So please go give it a shot. Also, another thing I loved in wrestling on NXT was Ava, the GM of NXT, announcing how the Women's North American Championship is going to be defended. And since this is a new title, it's going to be given the same opportunity that the men had with the men's North American Championship, and that is going to be fought for in a ladder match at NXT Battleground in Las Vegas. But first, a lot of the women have to fight or at least perform in a combine, and whoever performs the best in that combine gets chosen for said ladder match. And of course, whoever wins the ladder match becomes the first ever Women's North American champion. And a lot of women came out to speak their piece about it. Jada Parker came out there first. Sol Ruka came out there second. Of course, you know, both of them having amazing victories in spring break and last week. And then you have Ariana Grace, who is out here making Gigi Dolan's life a living heck by trying to teach her how to be Miss Congeniality. And then you got a surprise from Mia Yim, aka Meechan, who loves to talk about how amazing she is in ladder matches and stating that she wants to stake her claim for said title. And I was really happy with this, because something that bums me out and has bummed me out for the past couple of months is how Mia will get into certain tiffs with people and fight with them, but then she'll lose and then we won't see her on TV, you know, for a good amount of time. And she did get drafted to SmackDown, but in the meantime, in between time, I'm glad that she's back on NXT, because Miss Mav had a good little run in NXT and she never really had an opportunity for a title like that. And if she wins this one, I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. And just the amount of Black women that was in this promo as a whole on NXT just made me so excited. You had Mia, you had Ava, you had Sol Ruka, you had Jada Parker, and then you later on had Jakara Jackson come out there and get into the scrap and everything, and Lash Legend. It was just amazing to see that level of representation in the women's division. And just seeing women as a whole collectively, it was just really amazing to see that brawl take place. And I'm just really here for the creation of this new mid-card title on NXT. And honestly, I just want them to create a mid-card title for the main roster, because outside of really the tag titles, which I will get to in a little while, there's really nothing else for the women to fight for outside of the women's world and the women's championship. And it's just like, dang, give the other women something else to fight for, please. And yeah, they're having Queen of the Ring and stuff, but I want more titles for the girls. Please give it to us. But yeah, it's cool. It's going to be cool. And then you had Fallon Henley turning on Thea Hale after Thea won her match against JC Jane. She stated and told Kalani Jordan in the NXT parking lot that she just wanted to focus on herself. But really, Fallon Henley hasn't really been okay since Stand and Deliver, because even though I didn't notice it in the moment because I was there and I was excited and stuff, she was standing apart from Kalani Jordan and Thea Hill as they were celebrating their win at Stand and Deliver, which gave people the notion that maybe she might be turning heel. And I was like, I don't want her to turn heel. I want her to be the sweet cowgirl who can kick butt sometimes. So when she turned heel, I was like, God dang it. Fallon, no, I need you to be good. I want you to be a good guy. And then on top of that, she turned heel in those cute jeans, and they were flare jeans and all that. And I was like, come on. How dare you turn heel in my favorite type of jeans? Girl, I was so mad. I was so mad. I just cannot deal with how much it really just...
It's upsetting me in my home, girl.
It's upsetting me. It really upset me. So this is where we're at. And Fallon's a bad girl and she wants to focus on herself. So that's going to be crazy. But here's another thing that I think might happen. She walked right past Thea Hill and Jasmine Nix. And I feel like with the trajectory that JC Jane is on, I feel like she might join up with those two and create Toxic Attraction 2.0. And I know it's a long shot, and I know a lot of people feel that that shouldn't happen because Mandy Rose or Mandy Sachs isn't there. But JC Jane is proving herself to be quite the conniving villain who seems destined to make Thea Hill's life a living hell. No pun intended. So how crazy would it be if Fallon actually joined up with JC and Jasmine? But then Dreon Santana, who's over on the Shaker's Den, made an excellent point by saying that she feels that it wouldn't make any sense for Fallon to try to stand on her own and look out for herself and then join a faction. And I was like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So we just have to wait and see. But I just hate that my girl turned heel. Fallon! No! But, you know, we just got to move on. And when it comes to the men on NXT, Wesley came back. I was so excited. I was like, Wesley is back up in here. And he is healed and walking without a cane, jumping up and down and all of the above. And he made his reappearance on NXT after Obafemi's match against Ivar of the Viking Raiders for the North American title. And Wesley is probably one of the best North American champions that NXT has ever had. So the idea that he came back during this segment made me so happy. I was like, what? Yes, 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 yes. Get back the thing that you lost. And I am just so here for it. Even though Obafemi is like a force to be reckoned with, Wesley is going to give it a good old try. And I am just so happy that he is back and he is healed. And he's just so amazing. And I just cannot wait to see what he does now that he has returned. I was just so excited. I was like, yes, he's back. Yes, Wes, you're back. And finally, what I liked in NXT Spring Breaking Night 2 was the beginning with Trick Williams, the NXT champion, having his little moment with Lash Legend of Metaphor. Y'all, this segment was so hot that steam looked cool. I could not get away from how amazing this was. Like, they were, like, first of all, let's get into what Lash Legend was wearing. She came out there in that all-white outfit, looking like one of the muses from Hercules. Oh, my God. She looked so beautiful. She just gave off muse vibes. And just the outfit and just how amazingly it just hugged every part of her. I was just like, yes, ma'am, you are wearing that. Your hair is hairing. Your makeup, it's makeuping. Everything is doing what it needs to do. And she told Trick congratulations and all of that. And of course, she's holding this envelope where she claimed that there's something secretive about Trick Williams that the people are going to find out on the Supernova sessions on the next episode of NXT. But while this was going on, her and Trick was flirting with each other. And when I say flirting, I mean like flirting hardcore. It was one of the hottest things I ever experienced in my life. Like, Trick Williams said, "You want you some of this Reese's cup, don't you?" And I was like, "Ah, wait a minute, stop it, stop it." And Lash was like, "Look, let me get myself together." See, and she said, "Look, if you knew me, you know I don't like Reese's cups. I like Kit Kat chocolate bars." And I was like, "I like Kit Kat bars too. That is my favorite. That is a woman after my own heart. I love Kit Kats." And then Trick Williams hit the home run of the year. The Riz factor was up when he said, "Well, let me break you off then." I said, I was so gagged. I was like, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Excuse me, let me break you off then." That's hot. That was hot. And then they had to refocus. I said, "Chow, this is what I live for." This is the type of flirtation that I live for in this day and age. Because, honey, I just can't. Oh, Lord. I want them to be on screen more often together. Because their chemistry is off the charts. And yes, they are dating in real life. And you can definitely see why. They're just two of the most beautiful people on the planet. And I hope that they're making each other happy. But yo, Trick is the Riz doctor. Trick is just that dude. He is just... Literally, like, he's a smooth operator. I can't. It's just hilarious. And these are the things that you love to see. I love wrestling. So yeah, that's all I liked from NXT Spring Breakin'. Now let's get into SmackDown, or at least the part of SmackDown that I definitely did see. Because Friday, I was out. I was on Talk 99.5 with AJ on Breaking Bread and Darian. So shout out to them. So because I was coming home from that interview, I did not get to see all of SmackDown. But the part that I did see in terms of the Street Profits, they did such an excellent job in that tag team match against Grayson Waller and Austin Theory for those tag titles. But they lost, and it upset me. It really upset me. I was just like, excuse me? Y'all perform that well and then y'all lose? Like, it just made me so sad because I feel like they've been working so hard in all these tag team matches, you know, in all these high profile situations. And this is the night before Backlash and y'all lost. And I was just like, bruh, how long are we gonna have to wait before they hold gold again? It just got on my nerves. And then on Instagram, Montez shared a picture where he put in the caption Street Profits, but then he crossed profits out and it said Street Deficits. And I was like, wait, Jesus. Wait, Jesus. Is this going to happen? Because I have been thinking that I've been wanting Montez to leave the Street Profits for and leave the Pride also for a while. And the writing's on the wall because Montez is just so talented. He's so charismatic. Like every time him and Bianca are together, it's just cinema all the time. Black love cinema at that. So it's just like this man is so good and he has all the chemistry, or not chemistry, all the charisma to be a solo star. But yet he's not winning anything and him and Angelo aren't winning anything together either. And it's just like, bruh. I'm just tired of it. Like, I want more from Montez at this point. I really do want more from Montez at this point because he's just so good. And that's not to say that I want Angelo to just be left swimming by himself. But at the same time, I just want so much more for Taz because he's just so talented. And then on top of that, WWE's social media page showed a video of him congratulating Bianca on winning the tag titles with Jade Cargill. And he started fake crying and said, "Nah, I gotta win one." And he said, "Now I gotta win one. Not me and Angelo gotta win one, but I gotta win one." It's giving solo career. I don't know, but I just know them losing.
It's upsetting me in my home, girl.
It really upset me. It really upset me, and I'm tired of it. I'm just really tired of it. So, because I didn't see all of SmackDown, I'm just going to move into what I liked about Backlash. And, of course, Backlash was in France, and it was in Lyon, France, and it was a really fun show. I really loved the triple threat match between Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, and Bayley for the Women's Championship. They did an awesome job, especially with this move right here where Naomi lifted Tiffany and then Bayley slammed her kind of like a 3D. And I was just like, yo, that is crazy. The fact that y'all aren't even a tag team, y'all are fighting each other, but y'all are hitting a 3D on Tiffany. But I understand why, because Tiffany Stratton is so talented to the point to where you would think that she was wrestling for close to maybe 5 years and it's only been two. And she was performing on the same level that they were throughout this entire match. And of course, Tiffy Time, you know, might give mean girl vibes, but I can't take away the fact that she has the charisma and the talent to make it here. And she's been kicking all kinds of butt lately. So they had to basically double up on her so they can, you know, have a fair fight. And they did. And Bayley wound up retaining her title. And it was cool. And Naomi actually gave her a hug and told her congratulations. And Tiffany Stratton has nothing to be ashamed of at all. Like, she is most definitely going to be a champion at some point, but just not now. But you're not going to get that far if you keep trying to shoehorn your way into situations that don't involve you. And that's something that she keeps doing. So, Tiffany, you got to chill. But you're still talented as F, though. So, you know, take that and still embrace it. But this match was fantastic. Another reason this week that reminds you of why women's wrestling is awesome. And of course, we have the moment, the melanin moment of Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill winning the Women's Tag Team Championships away from Asuka and Kairi, the Kabuki Warriors, therefore ending possibly the feud that Bianca has had going with Damage Control for the past 2 years and giving Jade Cargill her first WWE championship ever. Yes. Just yes. These are the things that we love to see. These are the things that we love to hear. These are the things that heal the heart. And Jade Cargill did an amazing job. Like, she really tore the house down. Watching her do a springboard from the top rope and being able to hit multiple backbreakers to Asuka and also to Kairi was just one of the most fantastic things I'd ever seen. Like, she is growing by leaps and bounds, and I just cannot wait to see more of what she has to offer. And of course, Bianca Belair, she's gonna Bianca Belair no matter what. And the fact that they even had like a handshake when in the match before they won, it's like they did like a dap up and then they went like and flexed their muscles. I was like, yes! I was like, these are the things that I love. These are the things that I live for. And they had such great chemistry, and I'm just so happy that they won. And of course, they make history being the second set of Black women to win the women's tag team titles. Of course, with the first being these beautiful humans right here. Naomi and Sasha. So yeah, history continues to be made. Black women continue to Black women. And it's just an amazing time to be alive, to watch so many Black women thrive in wrestling on top promotions with titles. It's just beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And I'm just so glad. Now, if we can get into these men on Backlash. The Bloodline Wolfpack got deeper with the arrival of Tonga Loa, who is Tama Tonga's brother. And they were a part of the Gorillas of Destiny tag team at New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he made his debut by interfering in the match that Solo and Tama had with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And I was gagged because, number one, I did not know that Tama Tonga had a brother. I did not know he had a brother. Because everybody named Mama kept saying, oh, it's going to be Jacob Fatu. It's going to be Jacob Fatu. And it was not Jacob Fatu. And I was just like, well, who is this if it's not Jacob? And they said it was Tonga Loa. And I was like, oh, okay. And he fine too. So, you know, it's interesting. Now it's like everything is being replaced. Solo is the tribal heir. Tama is the MFT. And Tonga Loa, we don't know what name he gonna have, but I'm pretty sure by next Friday we're gonna find out. And Paul Heyman continues to be absolutely terrified. So, yeah. It's getting crazy up in here. The Bloodline Wolfpack is taking over. And, oh my God. And then people are still wanting to know where Roman Reigns is. And I'm just like, he's probably watching for the sidelines for the perfect moment to fight. That's what's going on. But yeah, it's insane. Just when you think you're out of the Bloodline story for good, they pull you right back in. Crazy stuff. And this is just another picture for those who are watching of Tonga Loa here. Just so you can get like a front facial look of how he actually looks right here. Yep. And then, of course, I loved the match between Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles for the Undisputed WWE Championship. This match was fire and it deserves 5 stars. it was really good. And I loved how the storytelling was definitely on the wall because you had AJ wearing trunks that looked exactly like the colors he wore when he fought Dusty Rhodes for the NWA world title. So to be able to do that while also facing his son was just really poetic in and of itself. But Cody, even though Cody was trying to fight with respect and fight with honor, AJ was just trying to smack him up and everything. And finally, Cody slapped him back. He was like, bah, that's what you want? That's what you want? See, look. There's only so many times you can mess with somebody that's nice until they finally snap back on you. And that's exactly what happened with Cody. Like, Cody and AJ gave each other the very best of what they had. And it was amazing. Cody wound up retaining the title. But this match was fire. And then every time AJ Styles did something in the ring to give him the upper hand, the Leon France crowd would sing this French song where they would be saying the word phenomenal. It's like the French form of phenomenal. Like, phenomenal, 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 da 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 la la la, la 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 la. And they were doing that like for all Friday night and even Saturday night too. So it was really funny. And I just loved the crowd and everything that they gave, especially during the part of Jey Uso's, not performance, but when he came out to his theme song and they had all the lights up. Bouncing up and down and everything. And sweetly enough, Jey Uso posted a picture of him in the crowd saying that the Fireflies were here. RIP to my MF and dog, Bray Wyatt. And I thought that was really sweet. The Fireflies will never die. Ever. The Fireflies are forever. So, yeah. Big ups to Leon and your crowd and how y'all even knew all the words to theme songs and stuff. It was really, really great. So, yeah. That was really all I liked in wrestling this week. And now we're going to move to the call to action. So, for those who may or may not know, your girl Stephanie was on the radio this past Friday. Like I mentioned earlier, I was happy and blessed to be on Talk 99.5 on the show Breaking Bread with AJ and Darian, and we talked some wrestling. And I just want to give credit to Micah, who is the president of Blurred Over, who hooked this up. And just the fact that I was able to get on and talk some wrestling and stuff was just amazing. Like, I just felt at home and at peace, and a dream, a little bit of a small dream came true. Like, I always imagined what it would be like to be on the radio and sort of, you know, be a guest or something. And the fact that that happened with me being a wrestling girl just makes me so, so happy. And it feels very humbling, and it's a very blessed thing. Like, I'm just so grateful to have shared my wrestling thoughts on the radio and talked to, you know, a number of fans who were calling in and stuff. And it was just so great. So I'm just really grateful and thankful for those who listened on Friday, and for those who liked what I had to say, and for, you know, information that I gave and stuff like that. I just really loved it. And hopefully this won't be my last time on the radio. I hope I can get back on, you know, in whatever capacity. But being on here just one time was just really great. And plus, this is Cumulus Media. And here in Birmingham, they have Talk 99.5, but they also have my favorite R&B station, which is Hot 107.7. And I love that station so much. And so much of what the earlier part of HWP was inspired by them, and also inspired by 98.7 Kiss FM too. So their vibe inspired my vibe on the show. So to be able to be at a radio station that's like a sister to it, while also just being there with people and talking to people about wrestling, it just meant the world to me. And it was just a huge dream come true. So thank you guys for having me on, and hopefully I can be back on the radio in some capacity. But if not, you know, you can always catch me here on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast doing my thing. So yeah, your girl was on the radio and half of Alabama heard me. So it's great. And I'm just really excited about it. So yeah. Of course, since we've reached the end of our time together, know that you can book me for various events. You can book me as a podcast host, as a writer, an editorial writer for Wrestling Things, a color commentator, and a panelist. So if you are creating a comic convention or any other type of convention that's wrestling related, you can email me at hardywrestlingpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram and on Twitter at Queen Steph Hardy, and I will definitely answer, and we can talk about rates. I am also open for booking for commentary work, so please book your girl for that as well. I have one booking this year, but I would like to double it, so please give me some more bookings for color commentary, and just book me in whatever it else you see fit. If you want me to share my thoughts about things, just DM me and we can figure it out. So book your girl, book your girl, book your girl. Okay? Thank you. Also, please check out the Double Dose episode of Steph and Kat Talk WoW this coming Wednesday, where we talk about the last two episodes of WoW Superheroes. Follow her on NCAT We Trust and see everything that she's got going on. And all of the episodes are on our YouTube channel, so please check those playlists out if you have missed any episodes. We enjoy talking about WoW Superheroes because we love women's wrestling and want to see it thrive in other places. And WoW is definitely one of those other alternatives. So please check that out and check out our post show as well. And of course, read my writings on dailyddt.com. Of course, my most recent writing was about WrestleMania being the blackest WrestleMania ever. So if you please read that article and read my other 10 articles that I've written for them over the past couple of months, and just get into my thoughts about certain things. I enjoy writing. It's something that I love doing. So please be on the lookout for any and all projects on dailyddt.com/Stephanie Hardy, and you will find everything that I've written. So it's been a fun ride, and I'm just really appreciative to be on it. And I believe that's about it for stuff that I have to plug. So, of course, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Queen Steph Hardy. And you can follow my TikTok at Stephanie_Hardy, because that's where I post a number of my clips and stuff for the show. And you can follow me on Threads at Queen Steph Hardy as well. And just continue to follow me and give the support, and also subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm almost at 300 subscribers. So please Help me get those numbers up. Please subscribe. Tell your friends if they love wrestling or if they just looking for something to listen to keep them engaged. Please tell your friends about it and tell them to subscribe. And please comment, you know, positive things. Leave 5-star reviews and all of the above. Because I'm trying to go somewhere with it. So please just send all kinds of positive vibes to the show that you can. And just continue to support me as I'm out here doing the dang thing in my wrestling career. So, of course, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl, Stephanie Hardy. And until next time, bye, y'all.